Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Bleach Boys. The finale of Core 2 is here. Incredible. We've made it. We've done it week to week, every week, even the recap episode but we're in the promised land. So we're doing episodes 25 and 26. One is called The Master. I believe the other one is just called Black. I didn't write both of them at the top of my notes here. So we'll kick it off with 25. We'll do our normal. Well, hopefully you guys have enjoyed sticking around. We appreciate you guys being here. With that, of course, if you guys want to know anything, you guys want to see anything, let us know in the comments down below, and we'll just hop into it. The episode kicks off with Yoruichi's brother running to try and find Yoruichi, of all people, of course, and he's carrying what looks like a fucking giant-ass boomerang. Kind of looks like the weapon from Inuyasha.
Inuyasha. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. What was her name?
Yeah, Sango?
Sango. Sango. Yeah, Sango.
Sango? Is it
Sango or Sango?
One of the two.
I don't remember.
But yeah, we're all thinking the same person. Yeah. We know who that is.
She's cute.
Totally looks like her. And then we see Urahara meets up with the rest of the Visor squad, Hiyori, Lisa, Love, and the large one. Who's the large one, Jose? Go.
Hachi?
Hachi. Thank you, Jose. So, and Hiyori is like, yo, I thought we were all going to go up together. Like, where is everybody? And Urahara's like, oh, well, the situation changed. And I really like Hiyori in this because I feel like Hiyori, when we see her, she's kind of like the yelling character. You know, she's kind of like the I don't want to do it and then
like
starts
a young Naruto.
Screaming. Yeah, kind of like a young Naruto. And this one you see, which we saw a lot in the Turn Back to Pendulum arc, she's very smart. She kind of picks up on Urahara's tendencies where she's like, oh, well, you better not have sent Ichigo and Yoruichi up there because you're okay with losing them as long as they stall for time. And he, you know, doesn't really say anything because then Yoruichi's brother shows up. And that's where you find out he's the 23rd head of the Shioen clan, Yushiro Shioen. And Urahara is like explaining to the brothers, like, oh, sorry, I just sent Yoruichi ahead for the sake of the Sarate. And that's where we get Hiyori again, where she's like, I now remember, I fucking hate your sake of the Sarate.
Yo.
I was like, so good, dog.
He does the Batman thing.
Yes.
Everything for the mission.
He totally does. And it was very much like, it was a good comedic line, but also it's deep. It's like, dude.
It runs deep. It's almost what Ichibe does.
Yes. Because like Hiyori is like, yo, I fucking hate that. Where he's like, you're willing, like Batman, you're willing to sacrifice everything as long as it's for the sake of Sarate, as long as it's for the sake of the world. It's like, sometimes you can't do that. And Urahara's like, sorry. You got
to
fucking do
we
it.
We have to.
Unlike a lot of other characters, Hiyori really can see down to the heart of Kisuke, as opposed to everybody else, like who would either like blindly worship him or like Mayuri, who's got the rivalry. She's just like, yeah, man, fuck you.
She was his lieutenant for how long?
Like 10 years, I think.
10 years, right?
Okay. Yeah, which is a long time. I mean, think about any job that you've worked at. That's a long time, yeah. 10 years. You'll really get to know somebody for 10 years. Where it's like, that's that kind of thing where I'm sure she saw that time and time again, and he's like, fuck, I hate that.
It's a flaw, but you know, at the same time, it's a strength.
Yeah, we love Urahara, so we'll give him a pass. So we get the opening here, but we immediately hop back into the end of episode 24, where we see Ichibei and Yuha do their face-to-face, and we get a lot of talking and back and forth here, which I fucking loved. We immediately cut to Uetsu. This is where the new scenes begin to start. And Uetsu's like, yo, what a fucking horrible king just running away like that. And he has probably one of the funniest disses I've ever seen. He's like, I guess I'll kill the successor. Which one? Which one was it again?
Yeah, I'm
like,
love that.
Poor Yugrim was probably like, you fucking cocksucker. Like, that cuts
like,
him deep, dog.
You.
Uryu, who cares? You know, he's coming out of W anyway.
Yep.
But Yugrim's like, you cocksucker. Just like all the Stern Ritters shitting on him at the beginning also.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I love any time Uetsu.
Yeah, Uetsu's like, a great character. Yeah. Really, really good. We go immediately back up to Ichibei, and he draws two lines on the ground and says, I will kill you in between these lines. And Yuha says, you'll die three steps short of that. And Ichibei draws a giant seal, basically blocking off the area where the Soul King is. And this is where we get Yuha getting blasted by a giant fucking hand called Senri Sutsunsho. Sutensho, and it blasts him anything away for 1,000 ri. Yuha then tries to speak, but he realizes he can't, which is callback to classic Ichibei going, don't blame me if you lose your voice. Mm-hmm. And Ichibei then summons another hand this time, spikes Yuha down, and Yuha pierces his own neck, which I guess this must be some Stern Ritter training with fucking Master Masculine doing it. And then so with same thing, fucking Yuha, they just pierce themselves. It's just fucking gross.
That
I don't think
it's crazy. I was like,
I don't think I could ever do that. I think about those times. You know how they tell you when you getting bit by a shark, you're supposed to really gouge its eye out is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, go for the eye and
it would be so grossed out. I don't know if I'd have the mental fortitude. I would puke. Puke into the shark's mouth. The shark would fly away.
The shark would be like, all right, I got my lunch.
Yeah, it's like that is disgusting.
Or like the in like Saw 1. When they're like, you can get out of the bear trap, but you have to like dig the key out of your own eye. I'd be like, just kill me.
Yes.
Just kill
me. Like, all right, just, you know, I don't even wait the hour. Just send it, please.
So it's like my girlfriend, and you know, like if anyone has a significant other, do they like pop your pimples, that kind of stuff?
Yes, dude.
They love doing that stuff.
Yes.
Like, geez.
They're savages,
like,
dog.
If you get them on the back, and I'm like, oh.
They're savages. Don't. Hey, supposedly the new Saw movie is supposed to be pretty good, by the way. Have you seen the good reviews it's getting?
No,
Saw
I haven't.
10 just came out. It's like 85% of Rotten Tomatoes. Like,
it's
supposed
between,
to be pretty
like, what,
fucking
two
good.
And three, right, or
and
something?
That's a high review for a horror movie. Really high review.
They made another Saw. I didn't hear
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, it just came out. Well, you don't hear about it because they can't promote it because the strike was going on, but now it just ended.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I will say the hardest thing that's ever happened in Saw is that person that gets tossed into a pit of hypodermic needles.
Dude, yeah. I just watched a whole like behind the scenes thing about that for where they're talking about how that scene, nobody wanted to do it. Everybody was kind of just like beating around the bush, and then it kept evolving into like maybe she'll sink into it. And it's like, well, you don't sink into needles. It's like you have to throw them into it. And then it evolved into her crawling on the needles.
Ugh.
And it was, and the director was like, yeah, that kind of came from my own fear where I just fucking hate needles.
Let's just make an actor live this.
I was like, yeah, it's that. That is the most horrific scene for sure.
That'd be like me saying, hey, all right, jump into this pit of tarantulas.
Yeah, that is fucked up. So back to Bleach here. Ichibei spikes him down. Yuha pierces his own neck with his fingers and kind of like infuses himself with his own reishi and now gains the ability to speak. Yuha then does another fucking hardest thing I've seen. Shoots an arrow through himself to blast him back up to where Ichibei was and manages to cut Ichibei. It's like just a little cut right on the back. And Ichibei is like, well, like, hey, if you're not going to listen, I mean, you leave me no choice. I'll have to kill you. And this is when we see the classic Ichibei go all white eyes. And Uetsu goes to prepare to take on Yugram as all of a sudden the wood that had trapped them begins to slowly, or not really slowly, but begins to disassemble around them. But we get Kyoryu. She runs to the top and she repieces it all back together. Tanjiro, who is the hot springs guy, I was having a really hard time remembering these guys'
names. I always want to call him Tanjiro.
Dude, me too. And then I was like, Kenjiro? Like, I don't know where I'm getting that from. Yeah. I was like, I'm all over the place with the hot springs guy.
Because his
cool,
other
though.
Name
I like
is Kurinji.
Yeah, Kurinji's
his
name.
There you go. Okay. So he launches water at Uryu and Yugram, which I thought was pretty funny. I feel like a lot of times when they're having these battles or like they're talking, they just kind of forget about Uryu and Yugram. They're just kind of standing in the back, which makes sense because the Royal Guard is supposed to be fighting most of the time. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times Uryu and Yugram are just like, hey, what's up? Just like hanging out
they're
back there.
They're enjoying the view.
Mm-hmm. So Uryu jumps forward and he runs right into Senjimaru. And Uryu goes crazy here and puts blue on his hands, starts blocking her attacks, jumping back and shooting her with an arrow. Insane. Tanjiro does a special move and then attacks Yugram. Uetsu is upset that basically everybody stole his prey. He's like, yo, I just fucking got here. I'm on stage. Like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden we see Asken is alive again. And Asken goes on to explain that the reason why he was picked by His Majesty was simply just because he can't die. And he's like, it's pretty disgraceful. And this is where we get the explanation his drift is D. The name of the power is the death dealing. And he can accurately calculate the lethal dose of a substance and adjust that amount at will. Even Asken is after that is like, it's confusing.
I do. He's hilarious just the way that he's like, it took me a very long time to understand my own
powers.
He's
like, if you don't get it, I understand, ditto, because I had to learn for a long time.
He's such a cool character.
This just further reinforces Asken is the best.
Yeah, and so Asken begins like licking his own blood, and he says that he's lowering the lethal dosage of the blood in Uetsu's body, and the blood that allows him to move, the more it flows inside of him, the more it will bring him closer to death. Asken then just begins fucking gulping blood at this point, and Uetsu falls to the ground.
I don't know why I thought that was the hardest thing. It was just watching him like lick it up, and then all of a sudden just go,
yeah, fucking hell, gross, dude. So Sinjimaru chases Udyu all over the fucking place in his womb, and he's like, and Sinjimaru's like, it must be difficult for you to focus and collect Reishi as it's getting stolen by the womb at the same time. And Udyu just jump in, shoots a leaked Reagan. We've seen it a million times. Sinjimaru quickly constructs a fucking umbrella and just blocks all of the arrows. We see Yugrim. He's using his badass looking shield fighting against Tendra over and over. And Tendra manages to stab his paddle into like the divot of a shield and pull the fucking thing away. He got styled on. Yugrim then pulls out his sword and they do the classic samurai, you know, fucking flinging slash at each other. And we see that it's Yugrim is the one that falls. And Asken says Oetsu underestimated him as he begins to pull out a bow from one of his three little bracelets that he's wearing, which very interesting. And Oetsu, back up, good to go, says thanks for the commentary, jumps up and says, if my blood will kill me, that just means I need to lose blood. And then he has a fucking slice on his neck as he just starts spraying blood all over the place. And Asken goes on to explain, which once again, smart motherfucker, maybe it's his ability, he's like, you're probably about 60 kg.
I thought that was crazy. He's like doing the math and
the math of how much blood he can have, what the poison amount inside of his body is, how much he could lose. I'm like, damn, Asken, okay. Which is probably part of his ability, to be fair, but god damn.
But damn, that was super cool.
I mean, if you think about it, you get a power like the death dealing, you're going to go open some books and be like, all right, how can I actually use this for real?
Not me, dog. I'd be so annoyed.
I would be so upset. Be like,
dude, give me the flame power. I don't want the fucking death dealing bullshit like, calculation. I don't want the drug dealing power. Like, please give me someone else's. Give me, I'll take Candace's. I'll just throw electricity. Like, please.
I would love that power.
I'm too fucking stupid to use the death dealing.
I feel like Danny would give... benefit from death dealing, you know?
You go over to Yuha, like, Yuha, listen, my man, my king, my majesty, please switch.
Take this away from me, sir.
I will take anybody's, please.
Then Yuha goes, no.
Yeah.
I gave it to you for a reason, Sam.
Yeah, I'd be like, ugh.
I would just be like, hey, man, I can't read, so I'm just going to miscalculate everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he gave it to the dyslexic guy.
hold on. Oh, shit, I made him blow up. Oops.
It's like, I swear the book said 56, not 65.
Oh, well.
Asken continues to explain that basically he's going to bleed himself to death by the time he tries to get rid of his poison. And this is where we see Oetsu call out for Tenjiro as he shoots his red hot springs at Oetsu. And he explains that the red water replaces blood with new blood as Oetsu jumps forward and slashes Asken again, saying, I've been reborn in my cool or what? And Asken's like, yeah, you're pretty cool. As a wound opens on Asken's chest, making him fall to the ground. Incredible stuff so far. Really, really good. We go back to Sinjimaru, and we see that her umbrella is just like fucking juggling the little Reishi balls on her umbrella. She's spinning it around, and she's like, yeah, I don't really like the rain, you know? And then she breaks the balls down into small ones and like shoots it back at Udyu and roast Udyu. I mean, honestly, Udyu just falls to the ground.
Nah, man. What she said was, I don't mind the rain, but I don't really like getting my clothes wet, as she's just casually playing with his powers. It's cool.
Her umbrella, just the way she was just kind of jostling the balls around, was incredible. Really, really good.
It's just really well animated.
I should point out now that by now, this is more screen time than she has ever given in the manga.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like I didn't see much of her.
I saw a great, I think it was a tweet, and it was someone going like, yeah, Squad Zero in the manga, like, ouchie, I got hit, ouchie, yep. The Squad Zero. And then it's like, in the anime, we will never give up, we will stop. It's like, yeah. It was like, it's so different.
If there's anything that this anime has done, it's made Squad Zero actually look as good as they are supposed to look.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yep, really. And with the stuff that we'll get to in episode 26 as well, they did a certain thing which I think perfectly kind of gives them an out to Squad Zero. I'll get to it when we get there. Yuha versus Ichibei. We go back and Yuha is commenting on how Ichibei's expression has changed quite a bit, and now he seems kind of pleased. And he's like, I had no idea that face could become so frightening once you made up your mind to kill me. And Ichibei slashes at Yuha, but he blocks it with his arm. And Ichibei at this point is like, oh, it's like you blocked it with your arm. He's like, don't you remember my brush does not cut flesh. It cuts names. As Yuha's arm goes limp, Ichibei continues saying, starting today, all you have is an AR. R. You're an R, not an arm.
R.
The strength of your arms have been halved. Yuha tries to attack again, and Ichibei says, your sword slash has become so gentle, as Ichibei slashes him right at the middle and smacks him back to the platform, making him land in between the lines that he originally drew, and says, now you're just YHW, or let's go, you're just you. And he says, leader of the Quincy's, whose power has been cut in half, how does it feel to be smashed into pieces by the leader of the Soul Reapers that you loathe? Which, I mean, is Ichibei the leader of the Soul Reapers? Like, what leading does he actually do? It's Shunsui, right? Yeah. Like, you can't call yourself the leader when you're not leading anything. Does Shunsui ever get orders from Squad Zero? Is that ever a thing?
No, not really.
Yeah, what is he leading? What is he leading? He's more like, he's a royal guard. He's a guard.
Well, he's not
a leader.
He was the first one. He's the first leader. Shinigami? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he was ever a leader. Was he? Because didn't Yamamoto form the squads? Isn't that the thing? He was the first one.
Guards,
so
right?
When Ichibei was still around, he was probably just a guy.
He gave him the name of the 13 court guards.
He gave everything a name.
Yeah, so I know Ichibei named everything, but Yama was the one that formed it, right? Unless maybe Yama, I'm going to headcanon it to make it Ichibei not a fucking liar. Yama had his band of mercenaries. Ichibei went to Yama and was like, hey, boy, great idea for you guys. What if you, like, legalize this shit? You know, like, you make, like, an actual
you
court guard squad.
This part. Mm-hmm. I protect up here.
Yeah, it's like, I got a great idea. You guys, I'll give you the bottom part, okay? I got the top part. And then he's like, oh, yeah, fucking cool.
Well, considering that the court guards, they were fighting the Quincy's back 1,000 years ago, maybe after they won the fight, Ichibei said, hey, that's really cool. So I got to protect the Soul King. How about you take care of everything else?
But wasn't the original invasion with the Quincy's where, like, Yuha originally lost? That was when Soul Society and the 13 court guard squads were already formed.
I think so, because they had all the uniforms and shit.
Yes, and then mm-hmm. the original captain was there. But in the meeting that we got that was anime only with Ichibei, he did mention that they were already fighting each other. So it's probably like an on and off again sort of thing that was happening. And it wasn't a full blown war until Yuha declared it.
Yeah, it's probably a bunch of skirmishes.
Yeah. All right. Who knows what the actual timeline is? Maybe we'll get like one of those Star Wars books with a big timeline that goes all the way through it, and we'll just figure it out from there.
Dude, I'd lose my shit.
And she didn't know also that at this point, for whatever reason, Ichibei's skin goes hella dark here just for that one scene. I don't know what happened, but we'll go ahead and cut to the mid-credits scene here as we cut back to the Giselle and Bambi scene that everybody's been talking about and waiting for. It makes its appearance here. Big yikers coming in. So Giselle is sucking the blood out of Bambi, and Bambi, in classic zombie Bambietta fashion, is pleading for her not to take too much blood because she doesn't want to die. And Giselle is like, fuck yourself, and slams her head into the ground multiple times until she fucking dies. And after she dies, Giselle's like, oh, you're so cute, and just starts hugging her and shit. And that's when we see Lil Toto appear, and is like, I knew you weren't fucking dead, of course.
Goddamn, that scene was all over. Like, mm-hmm. I saw the manga panels for it all over Twitter, and then I saw it, and I'm like, she's sucking her tit or something? I was like, what the fuck?
It was dark. They made it really, I'm not saying dark as in, obviously it was dark thematically, but it was also dark on screen. Yeah. It was like I was watching the fucking Game of Thrones finale. It was so dark, dog. It was brutal.
I would imagine that they're going to lighten that up a little bit for the Blu-ray release.
I think so as well. I think that was purely a TV thing, which they've done before. I think for the real violent stuff, they always make it a little dark, but they'll do that.
I mean, damn, dude. Just and then you see Bambi's eyes are both in like different directions.
Yes, it's fucked up.
Open on the side.
Mm-hmm. So we do get a little status update of some of our favorite Stern Reader here. So we find out that I'm going to refer to them as Lil Toto Dead, Minnie, and Candy. Candy was taken by the enemy. Minnie was taken out by Lil Toto herself. And she says both should still be alive. And then she does go, Pepe, I did eat. He tasted like shit. Ichibei goes back and says that 1,000 years were too short for you to repent, as we see the emblem on Yuha's chest begin to light. And this is we get the moment we've all been speaking up. Yuha begins to form a dark blue ball of Reishi's hand. He's doing the Rasengan right in front of Ichibei's face.
That's right.
And a giant blue like halo ring appears in the sky, and we get the Oswalin, or I think they could refer to it, they pronounce the Oswalin in the anime. And this is where we see the beams of the blue light start to shoot down to the Sarate and begin to fucking hit every Stern Reader, every Quincy. Lil Toto, once again, being one of the smartest ones out there, immediately is like, that's not fucking good, and dips and pushes both Giselle and herself to hide undercover where she was killing fucking Bambietta originally. And it begins to still suck away their powers. Even though they didn't get hit by the beam, it still sucks away and sucks them out of
their
form.
Yeah, their wings were getting disintegrated.
So Mayuri concludes that this is not just their Reishi being sucked up. It's actually their souls being sucked back up. And this is where we get to see your girl Candace and then Minnie. They got fucking glacked just instantly
hit by the beam.
Yeah, I hate to see it. And then we see Baz B, everybody's boy, get hit by the beam right in front of Renji and Ruka. And even Renji's like, what the fuck's going on? And Baz B's like, I'm thinking the same fucking thing. Like, and everybody's pissed. Yuhop, meanwhile, looking cool as fuck with his blue flames.
With fire in his arms. Real cool. What a beast.
Lil Toto and Giselle, or Lil Toto and Baz B actually scream that there's no way that they're dying here. And we cut to Shunsui, which once again, every scene of Shunsui is cold as fuck. And that continues through the rest of this episode. He asks both of his friends, like, hey, are you guys cool? Like, if I leave? And then, like, well, where are you going? And he's like, it's not the Sarate that's in danger. It's the royal palace. And we cut back to Yuha, whose blue beam just continues to grow larger and larger and completely destroys the womb that was trapping them all in. And the blue ring in the sky is now completely solid as he begins to rain Reishi down as we see the royal guard of Yuha begin to revive all in their Volstandig form. And right after Sinjimaru commented how, you know, she doesn't really like the rain, too. He makes it rain, dog. Fucking Yuha's rude as shit. Ichibei says that stealing the powers of your comrades, how ruthless. And Yuha says that's what comrades are for. We help one another so we can resurrect and move forward. Yugram goes on to explain that the Oswellen, I'm going to mispronounce that word like eight times, Oswellen, it collects the lives and powers of unnecessary Quincy and redistributes to those that need them. Those that lose it die. Those who receive it gain additional power and come back to life. Okay, so we're at the end of the episode here. He continues on saying Squad Zero shall be purged. We get the title, Bleach number 25, The Master. And there is an after-credit scene. Before we get there, though, we have to talk Jose Pythes.
Yeah.
I know you guys want to mention it. No Robert Acutrone.
I know.
No Robert Acutrone in the Oswellen. None of it. Just completely cut.
I'm so sad.
He had an off-screen death. We knew it, yeah. Unfortunately.
You could argue that he gave Robert the respect already with his Byakuya scene. Mm-hmm. You know, he put that scene in there to give Robert a little moment to shine, which is more than we ever fucking got in the original manga. But now we lost his fucking dramatic death. Yeah. Brutal.
He got Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Do you want to explain what that means if somebody hasn't read the manga?
Okay, so in Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of the Nazis, he looks at the something of the Covenant. I forget what it's called, and his face melts, and he turns into a skeleton. So in the manga, when Robert Acutrone gets hit by the Oswellen, he gets vaporized into a skeleton while he is still screaming. And it's hard as fuck.
Brutal. Yeah.
Which you do see, by the way, when they cuts back down a couple times, that some of the regular Quincy's are skeletons now. Yeah. Like, full-on are skeletons. We just don't see it on screen.
I was scanning every one of them to try and find his uniform to see if one was him, but nothing.
How fucked up would it be? See the skeleton with his uniform. Like, goddamn.
Only thing that didn't get disintegrated was the stash.
Maybe. Now, what about this? They're saving Robert for later. Maybe he's not dead.
You think he's going to be like a Baz B and get a little
something? I don't know. Maybe because we haven't seen him die. Now, how a lot of people are kind of contributing it in how we see Kubo, if you don't follow him on Twitter. Every time somebody dies, he tweets out art. And that's normally what we have on the TV that you see on our set right here. He tweets out death paintings, basically.
I love it.
And this week, he tweeted out a whole bunch. Robert Acutrone is one of them. Had to throw him up. We respect the boy. Another one was Nanana, whatever the fuck his name is, where I think Nanana is not dead yet.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
I thought he comes back.
No, I'm pretty sure he was dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, so here's another question. I know Candace comes back in Can't Fear Your Own World.
Yeah.
So how does that even happen?
Mayuri.
So they don't get disintegrated. Their bodies get left behind, and then Mayuri finds everybody.
Yep.
Does his thing.
Yep. It's Mayuri.
Interesting.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Interesting. Okay. What if we add Robert Acutrone?
We just want him to live.
I would so much rather. Oh, no, wait a minute. You know, Nanana can't die because he has to do a cool thing with Aizen later in the Blood War.
I know right, things. Thank you. I know things, dog. So, and he was one of the death drawings that came out today.
Maybe they're changing it. Because he only does that one cool thing, and then you don't see him again.
Yep.
So they could be leaving it out. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, so I'm saying, what if they're setting up a little something-something for Robert Acutrone? Because I feel like in the anime, even, they have been sure to highlight this, like, thing between Yuha and Robert, where, like, Robert wants to please him so fucking bad. So bad. Yeah. He wants to be selected so bad. But then he doesn't. So maybe Robert screws him over.
Oh, so let me give you the scene that we missed, because it wasn't just him being disintegrated. So right after Lil Toto is talking to Giselle, Robert which walks up and puts a gun to her head and says, "Do you know what this means? All of this means he's gone without us. We're not selected." And he just starts going on a rant about how fucked they all are. And then the Eshwalan hits and he is vaporized.
Damn. So he goes a little crazy afterwards.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Mm. His whole psyche just got destroyed.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
Nah.
You can't. You can't blame the boy. So let's talk after credit scene now for episode 25. It's Shunsui walking through the rubble, kind of commenting on, man, hope all this goes back to normal when we're done. Like, it's like, sure it will.
He just doesn't want to clean it up.
Yeah. And we see Ukitake. He finally makes his appearance. He says, if it's broken, we'll fix it. Like we always do, you know. And Shunsui's like, oh, I knew you would say that. Of
he's
course,
such
my
a good
boy.
Guy.
And Ukitake comments like, it seems like they allowed the Royal Palace to be involved. And he's like, yeah. And they say that the Kamikake was in anticipation of that. And Shunsui says, you're right. It appears that the Kamikake was successful. Then I guess you can push yourself a bit now. And Shunsui begins to walk away as we see kind of like the giant fucking shadow appear behind Ukitake, which menacing, suspicious. Mm-hmm. What could it be? And he tells him to be careful and he'll see him later. Ukitake asks where he's going. And Shunsui just responds with, he just needs to grab a drink.
We all know where he's going.
So
we all know
good.
Where he's going, and I'm so excited for it.
That was a great after credits.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. In the manga, it is much more direct. Ukitake asks him where he's going. He goes, I'm going nowhere. I'm just going to go to room 46.
Cool.
Nice.
I think
so
I like,
fucking cool.
I like the anime version more. It leaves it more suspense.
Yeah, well, it's a bit vague, and it's more Shunsui as a character, right? It's like, where are you going? I'm just going to grab a drink.
Yeah,
you know, like he's been doing that through the whole series. He's got to grab a drink. Where's he going to grab a drink? Going to grab a drink with the boy Aizen.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like in the manga, I think that was the end of a chapter. So it was, hey, stay tuned for the future.
Sick. Fucking sick. So we do get an end quote here. Senjimaru, of course, a little tease of what's to come. A thread falls through the cloud, pull and rattle, a field of white cloth, bones woven within. Which we get a lot of rattle later in episode 26. So yep. What did you guys think of episode 25?
That was fire.
It was fantastic. I liked it a lot.
I thought it was really, really good. I liked they gave a lot of character moments in there that I thought was incredible. They gave a lot of Squad Zero moments, which also was really, really good. Like we talked about, they're putting respect on the Squad Zero name.
They were fantastic throughout that whole fight.
It so far, the changes that they've done with 25 and 26, I really, really like.
Dude, it's so much better.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you can tell that, I mean, like we talked about last time, Kubo himself was hyping these episodes up before it even came out. He was like, yo, 25, 26, those are the episodes I worked on the most personally.
Yeah, heavily involved.
Yes. Like he worked on those. And we already know from what we talked about earlier that Kubo had mentioned he's already doing scenes for season 3. Like mm-hmm. He's already mentioned he's already working on scenes. So it's only going to get more and more different. Now, here's a question I have to put to you guys. Now with this change and a lot of the cuts that are doing, especially with episode 26, that one goes crazy. We'll get there. To get the ultimate story of Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, you now have to read and watch the anime.
I don't think
yeah.
so.
You think you can just completely watch the anime and not read the manga?
Yeah.
I think a lot of stuff that happens, like here's an example. Somebody watches the anime. What happened with Robert Akichon? Oh, I don't know. I assume he died. In the manga, it's spelled out pretty clearly as to what happens there. Now there's kind of this two versions of history, you know? So is the anime, I guess, with Kubo's involvement, is now the ultimate version of the story?
I guess so.
I would imagine so, because then it's like the scenes that they got rid of with Shinji running into Omida and stuff like that. They didn't have to be put in there.
Yeah, they would have been nice to see them, but they don't add anything.
Yeah, they didn't really lead anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the pacing is so much better.
Yeah, the pacing is better. I'm trying to think of any scene where if it's in the manga and not in the anime, if you would truly miss out on seeing anything there.
I mean, just Rukia's butt.
Yeah.
You
Rukia's
know.
Butt.
Yeah,
you,
the Yoroichi the shipping. With the hand, mm-hmm. You know.
But I mean,
that's all just like fun stuff that we would love to see, but it doesn't necessarily affect the overall story.
I think a bunch of the little stuff we got this season was great. Just seeing where all the people who was fighting, who was not, catching up with Shunsui going, all right, we need to coordinate stuff over here. It felt so much more impactful.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff. I just always think it's interesting to think now that's like because the manga is purely written by Kubo. The anime, you don't really know what Kubo touched and what he didn't, which I know is also an argument I see pop up for Can't Fear Your Own World.
Yeah.
Where some people will argue that because it was not directly written by Kubo, you can make the argument that it's not canon. But then how do you make the argument for the anime? You know?
I don't know, man. It's Kubo seems to be down for it.
He seems to be okay with Can't Fear Your Own World.
I gotta
world
say,
also.
Like, if I think if Kubo, the author, gives the thumbs up, like, I approve, then boom. It's canon. It's good to go. Until Kubo writes something else that contradicts that.
So when he was Hellverse.
Yeah, so it's canon until it's not canon is how I would describe that.
Yep, we get that years later. He said, fuck the other shit that they originally went with. I didn't want that.
Yep.
Here's mine.
Yep.
And to go on to Can't Fear Your Own World, that's written by, I forget the guy's name, but that's one of Kubo's bros. He's also the guy that wrote Spirits Are Forever With You. And in that book, apparently the author got so close to like actually getting what the fuck was up with Kenpachi, Kubo had to go, hey, cool it down. I haven't talked about that in the manga yet.
Ooh, okay.
So Kubo seems to be all aboard on that shit.
Okay, good, good. That's why I assume for the most part, if Kubo gives the thumbs up and it's canon until it's not, then you're good. I still think it's kind of muddy now with the manga versus the anime.
Well, the problem is that the anime's not done. We still have two more seasons of it.
Because I think the anime is truly going forward is going to differ so much from the manga, where it's like now I don't even know if you could tell somebody to go read the manga.
I mean, I still would, though.
But I don't think – what if – okay, here's a what if question. Season 3, season 4 comes out. It's so much better than the manga. How can you tell somebody to read the manga, especially with what we know coming later where like a lot of shit just hits the cutting room floor for Kubo doing the manga? Now, because I always thought – with the anime, there's so much filler. There's so much moving around of the parts. Obviously, you're going to miss the soundtrack, but I think the best way to enjoy the original Bleach story before Thousand Blood War is the manga. I full-heartedly agree that that is the case. Maybe watch Soul Society Rescue Arc, hop over to manga, finish the rest of it. Now, it's like, what do? You read the manga up to Thousand Blood War, swap over. You watch Soul Society Rescue Arc, read the manga, swap back over. It's confusing now. There's not like an ultimate package.
I mean, it just depends on the person, because I'm personally more of a manga reader because I don't have the patience to sit and watch something.
Yeah.
So I would say read the manga. It's faster. And if you liked it, go back and watch it animated.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like my sister, she doesn't have the patience to read. She just wants to sit there and watch something. So I'd tell her just watch the anime.
That's how my brother is exactly. He will not read it.
Yeah, but I feel like with the original Bleach anime in particular, you're not saving time by fucking watching that shit. Like, holy crap, especially with the amount of fillers that's in there. Ain't no way.
Do you know how often I called you guys stupid whenever I'd watch a Bleach Boys episode and they were like, we're doing the filler arc? I'm like, just skip it, Sam.
I've learned by these.
We're getting the complete package. The complete package.
It's like Sam said originally, we are Bleach enthusiasts. We love it for what it is.
Yeah. I still say, even though this anime is great, I like the manga. I still think it's good. It's just rushed at the end.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying I think the manga is good too. But now, like, I think season 3 and season 4 is going to be such a drastic improvement versus the manga, where it's going to be like, all right, yeah, read the first half of Thousand Blood War, then you have to watch the second half in the anime.
I still think it'd be more interesting to read the whole Blood War and then go, okay, then go back to this chapter, then start the anime and just see what happens.
Maybe they do that. I know when I was reading One Piece, everybody was like, okay, you got to read up. You obviously read it, watch it, enjoy it however you want. But there's a part where one of the characters has a very famous song. It's called Bink Sake. And they're like, yep. You have to go watch that part in the anime because they actually do the song. They perform the song. Like, and it's a very iconic song.
That sounds like fucking good too.
Yeah.
A great song.
Whereas like, even if you're reading the manga, stop reading the manga, go YouTube it, and then go back. And that's how you have to do it. Whereas, like, I can see it being, like, you get to the fucking Urahara Yoruichi Asken fight, you know? It's like, okay, read that, but then now go back to the anime and watch it. Like, YouTube that fight so you get the full thing.
Like, so when I was catching up on Boruto because my friend wouldn't stop screaming at me about it, I would get to the fight in the manga, pause, and then pull up the anime just to see if the animation was any good. It was fine is my answer.
It was just fine.
It was fine. Honestly, if you care about Boruto at all, just read the manga.
That's what everyone says. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to ask either of you. Whenever Ichibei was like smacking Yuha around with the giant magic hand, did any of you go to like Chappelle show and your brain just goes, what did the five fingers say to the face? Slap.
No, I didn't even think about that.
My brain went right to the Rick James episode.
Just slapping people.
So it was unintentionally fucking hysterical to me.
Imagine Mikey just dying laughing watching that.
I was, dude. People looking at me like, what's so funny? This is a fight. I'm like, but it's really funny, though.
Here, let me show you this clip after.
Just psychotic behavior from Bite These.
Yeah. I'm watching a serious fight and I just break out laughing.
Yeah. All right. Anything that you want to touch on in the episode that we missed? Maybe any scenes that got cut?
Let's see. The streamlining of the anime is so good. I need to explain that when I'm reading this, I watch scene, I pause, I then go to the manga and check it out. I was having to go backwards and forwards through a couple different volumes of manga to try and keep up. And like the end, it's just so streamlined. It just goes. Like now, where the fight ends next episode, like Squad Zero is already dead.
Damn, that's crazy.
Shit.
It's crazy. And let's see. I also wrote, so I assumed they were going to censor the Giselle Bambi scene. Not only did they not censor it, it shows a bit more skin.
Interesting.
Yeah, because isn't it from a distance perspective that you see that?
No, it's about the same. They're just like, you don't see Bambi cleavage.
I think that their way of censoring it, like I was saying, is they just darkened the screen. Yeah. So it's like, oh, if you really want to see it, you can. But it's like, you got to really, look into it.
We'll pay for that later.
And like in the manga, the Ashwallen happens while Yuha's still trapped in that fucking cage.
Yeah, we talked about last time, is how he breaks out of it.
Yeah, that's how he breaks out. Mm. It's so good. And the way they did it in the anime is better. It lets Uyu showcase his power a little bit.
Well, and I like it from the perspective also where it kind of gave Yuha and Ichibei that first kind of bout, where it's like Yuha's like, all right, let me take a whack at this without using the Ashwallen first. He did it, and he was like, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I need this now.
It's like, yep, I'm going to have to go ahead and take those powers now. Thank you.
Because, in the manga, he's already used the Ashwallen, so he does get, a weird power-up, but it's kind of bullshit and doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now it feels so much more impactful.
Because now we get to see basically what his powers were before that. It's like, okay, he definitely can't take Ichibei. He's getting smacked around like a fucking bitch. And then now he does it. He's like, all right, now let's go again. But, still doesn't go well. But
yeah, now it's a last resort instead of a first resort.
Yeah.
Also, let's just talk about the Ashwallen itself. Holy fuck, the colors.
Yeah, beautiful. Really beautiful.
Yeah.
And the chiming of the church bells as the sound effect for basically lasers coming down from the sky and disintegrating people.
Ooh.
The soundtrack through both episodes was really, 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 really good. The bells were ringing pretty much all episode. Yeah, it was crazy.
It's like they didn't make the joke, I'm shocked, but for whom does the bell toll? It tolls for thee, Robert Akatron.
Yeah, R.I.P.
And that's all my notes for this episode.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have a lot more going in episode 26.
Yep.
So episode 26, the finale episode of Bleach Core 2. Yuha is there front and center. He says, the time has come. Show your wings, Stern Ritters, which is plural, by the way. I just want to make note. Mm-hmm. Stern Ritters, plural. Because when I said that, someone was like, you don't say the S on Stern Ritters. It's plural. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, dude. I've been having arguments with people for years about what's the plural of the Espada. Apparently, it is Espadas, but I just call them the Espada.
Yeah, so you're wrong, Pythes. You
Espada is sword.
Singular. I know. I'm fucking wrong. I just prefer it.
I thought this was really weird, by the way. Every time something happened, I liked the reaction shots, but they kept cutting back to the rocket. And I'm like, why do you keep showing me the rocket? Like, I get, there's maybe they just want to be like, hey.
They're just experiencing turbulence.
But I feel like they show them, and it's like Ichigo or Hime, whoever. Not a shocked look or anything, just them. Rumbles. I'm like, dude.
They've been through so much. It's just like, this is part of the journey.
It's like, I don't care. And they did it twice. the second time I was like, why? Why do you keep showing me them sitting in the rocket?
It's to remind people where the fuck Ichigo is.
Yeah. It's like, they're coming. They're coming. Don't worry. Man. Oh, so we see the rocket, like I was memeing on, and it's looking like it's about to be a fucking 4v6 with Squad Zero versus Yuha's Royal Guard that they're all in their Volstandic with Yugurum and Uryu not in their Volstandic, by the way. They're just there hanging out. And Yuha says, nobody can take anything away from me. Everything in this world exists for me to take. The Soul King is no exception. Which that line made me kind of roll my eyes a little bit. Came off like a fucking spoiled, rotten little kid. Nobody can take away from me. It's like, dude, come on, Yuha. Like, be cooler than that. That's fucking dumb as hell.
Ichibei is over there like, you need enough to share with the class.
Yeah, it's like, yep. This is why I smack you around. I give you a fucking spanking because you're a little kid, dog.
What did the five fingers say to the face, Yuha? You will share with the class or you will find out.
Mm-hmm. So they cut to the Soul King in the crystal, who also, no reaction, no nothing, just like a limp fucking body there. And Yuha shrinks and basically destroys the, now it used to be a floating blue ring, and destroys it and says, let's go, my children. And that's where we get the opening theme start here. We immediately pop back in and we see Uetsu get fucking shot in the shoulder. It was so crazy how quickly they went to that. And Uetsu's like, oh, shit, this must be the new power you gain from the Ashwallen. And Lilibaro comes back, fucking smacks back. He's like, well, you actually got two things wrong there. First, this is not an additional power. It's just a power I always had, but I didn't have the time to use earlier. And second is that your body wasn't pierced by a bullet. Lilibaro then shoots again as Tenjiro and Kiryu jump to block the bullet. And Lilibaro continues saying, which is why no matter how many walls you put up, it can't be blocked. And we see Uetsu is shot through the fucking chest.
Bro, that shit was so hard.
Crazy. Dude.
And this is back to canon material. This part was in the manga.
Yeah. Uetsu dies right here, doesn't he?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. Really crazy. So Lilibaro explains his power here, and he says that he's the X-axis. There's no bullet. It penetrates everything in between the muzzle of my gun and my target, which this is a reveal that comes later. I thought when he gave this first explanation, makes perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm. He chooses a target, it goes. Like, it's an X-axis. Like, it happens. I don't know what crack Uetsu was smoking. I guess maybe, let's just say Uetsu was so stunned that he got shot through the chest, he didn't hear the explanation the first time. Because when he get, like, Uetsu's like, well, why didn't it go to Yuha? I was like, you dumb bitch. He literally explained it the first time you met him. Pay attention.
He was just excited.
I have to assume that maybe he was in shock, you know, yeah. And Uetsu wasn't hearing correct. Everybody else heard it.
I mean, he just got blasted twice.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It would fumble your brain a little bit.
And let's be real. We talked about this last episode. Those are not small bullet holes.
Yeah, no, true. He got roasted.
You could fit a can through there.
Yeah.
So Tenjiro like pushes down his paddle into the ground and flashbangs everybody.
I thought that was cool.
And Shinjimaru flies off with Uetsu and immediately starts like patching him up, which was just also fucking cool. And then the Squad Zero all gather back up some Power Rangers shit. They're like, cool, we're ready to go. Let's do it.
I do love Uetsu just being like, I'm alive.
Yeah. And Tenjiro's like, the five of them, which includes fucking Ichibei, of course, are stronger than all the 13 court guard squads put together, which comes back up later. And Kiryu begins to summon more wood in the ground, basically separating and enclosing them all again. And now everyone is completely separated, ready for their 1v1s. We have Shinjimaru versus Gerard, Pernida versus Kiryu, Tenjiro versus Asken, and Uetsu versus Lilibaro. Gerard goes to stab Shinjimaru, but it's just a full-on ass puppet. And Shinjimaru immediately drops down, pushes him down to the ground, sews his ass into like the fucking wood. Kiryu shoots a bunch of seeds at Pernida, slamming him also into the wood. Tenjiro launches red hot spring water everywhere and flashbangs Asken again. And with heavenly flash can peek up, but Asken is able to dodge and just running away. And Tenjiro's like, yo, fucking stand still. Like, what are you doing? And Asken is like, no. Like, you're a fatally bad matchup for me. I won't be doing that.
Smart.
It's so funny, dude. I love Asken. Uetsu manages to close the gap, basically just dodging Lilibaro, and he does a slash. We cut away. We don't see anything. And we go back to Ichibei. He says, don't you realize how generous I've been? I only cut half your power for you to save face. All Quincy's would lose face if I crushed you while you were at full strength. And Ichibei storms forward, uses the Hyapa Rankun. And Ichibei throws a blue vein shield around. And we get, which I thought was fucking cool, Secret Hado 3.
Yeah.
Tekusatsu.
I forgot that there were like forbidden or secret techniques.
That is fucking cool. Really cool. And Ichibei manages to absolutely break the shield and grab Yuha by the neck. Fucking hardcore. So Yuha is like, oh, you touched me. His blue vein begins to run up Ichibei's arm, like into his eye. Ichibei just fucking flexes and sends it all shooting back towards Yuha up into his eye. And Ichibei jumps back and says, not only did you trespass the Soul Palace, but you also trespassed the body of Squad Zero, a vessel of the Soul King.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, incredible lines and shit. That back and forth is so good.
I didn't want to have to write it down. So just anytime Ichibei speaks, just assume I wrote down that line goes hard.
Yes. Yeah. So I was watching this fight, both episode 25 and parts of episode 26. My girlfriend had one of her friends over, and she was watching it, and she was like, "Who's the good guy?" And I was like, I had to explain to her. It's like, technically, it's Ichibei, but he's like one of those morally kind of gray characters where it's like, he's a good guy ultimately, but he'll fuck you up. Like, and he has no remorse. And she was watching, it's like, he just seems like a bad guy. And I'm like, that's the point. Like, that's the point. You can see from an outside perspective watching, you'd be like, they're both saying mean shit. Like, it's not like classic stuff like the hero would say, you know? And it's like, who is the good guy? If you didn't know, you'd have no fucking idea. You would assume, that's true. I think you would assume that Yuha is the good guy. If you watch those episodes with Yuha kind of talking about, like, I don't want things taken away from me, like, I gotta do this to, like, get rid of the Soul King, and Ichibei going, like, no, fuck you, you're like a fucking ant, I fucking hate your guts. I'd be like, oh, okay.
That's just good writing right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is good. You almost, like, root for both sides, where it's like, oh, man, don't know what the fuck's gonna happen here.
It's also really, really cathartic, considering just how hard Yuha stomped the Soul Society in the first invasion. You watched him getting dragged by the neck and thrown around like a bitch.
That's right.
So at this point, we get painted black Ichimonji, and we see the brush tip now kind of flicker. It looks like a blade. It looks like a brush. And Yuha and Ichibei begin slashing at each other. And Yuha says, "What's up with that thing? It just splashes ink around. It can't cut a thing." Yuha says, "If it's like before, you should already know that I can restore names and powers through the use of my own powers. You cannot defeat me with that blade." And he says, "I'm going to use my," and then just as Yuha begins to speak, he can't remember the name of his sword.
Yeah.
And Ichibei full on taunts his ass, like puts his hand in his ear, like, "What was that? What's the name of that sword?" I'm like, dude, it's so disrespectful. I would be making the same rude comments if I was fighting as Ichibei.
I was like, damn, Sam is Ichibei right now.
The same rude comments. Go ahead. Like, say what the name is. I thought you could heal it. Go ahead. And just the whole time, Yuha's like freaking out. He says, so Ichibei continues, like, "Yeah, your sword has no name. Anything painted over by Ichimonji loses its name, and that without a name has no power. Your sword and your cross have no name. Did you really think you could kill me with those?" We cut over to Shinjimaru. Shinjimaru stabs Gerard right in the fucking heart. And Gerard's like, "Yeah, you can't kill my heart with that little needle. Come on." As he fucking clocks her, dog. Just
fucking decker so hard.
That shit made me laugh, dude. I just have a weak spot for random clocks, dog. Just out of nowhere.
She wasn't expecting it, and then
The best one was still Mashiro.
Yeah,
Mashiro kick.
Punching Shuhei at it from out of nowhere.
So good. And Gerard just gets up and goes to, like, get ready to stomp her out of existence, dude. I'm like, okay, all right. We see Pernida now. He's up and on the offensive as Kirio goes full on skinny mode trying to crush him, but it's just not enough as Pernida just does his thing. And we see Tenshiro catch up to Asken. He's like, "It's not that we're just a bad matchup, but you're also slower than me," as he attempts to stab Asken. Asken fucking pole vaults over him. And he said, "I also said that to the funky guy earlier, but you shouldn't underestimate me," as he shoots Tenshiro in the back with his bow, saying it could be fatal.
Ooh.
So good.
I love the fucking Asken wordplay. Lethal, fatal, deadly. Usually
it's
I cringe
so
at that.
So good.
It's so
not
funny.
With him, man. He does it so well.
It's because I think he also knows it's dumb. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm just going to do it all the time."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think that is part of it, where it's like, you know, it's kind of like when everybody started saying YOLO, okay? Yeah. Everybody started off originally making fun of it, like, "Oh, that's so cringe." And then you say it more and more and more, and it's like, now I'm a problem.
Yeah, I'm part of this.
I'm part of the issue, where it's like, it goes back to, like, with fucking Asken, where, "Oh, yeah, I hate my power. Like, it kind of sucks. You know, it's embarrassing." And he's like, "Here I am, like, fucking
kind
doing
of
all
lethal,
these things."
You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I now unironically say shit is cringe.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It sneaks up on you. You always start saying it first, like, "I'm never going to say that." Then you start saying it ironically, and then now it's part of your vocabulary. All right, so we go back, and we see Owetsu didn't actually hit the Libaro, and he's like, "What the fuck? Did my blade slip right through?" And the Libaro says he's actually just gotten used to your speed by now. Owetsu jumps back, and Lilibar goes to shoot, but notices directly behind Owetsu is Yuha. So Owetsu slashes, but we see Owetsu actually took the shot and shot him right through the stomach, and this is what I was referring to later. Owetsu's like, "Why would you take the shot if Yuha was right there?" Like, he's unharmed. And Lilibar says, "As I fucking said earlier, like, per my last email, my X-axis penetrates everything in between the muzzle of my gun and my target." And then we see Oetsu, you know, kind of fall to the ground. Fucking idiot, Oetsu. Yep. Like, I honestly, as a viewer, I was like, come on, even I got that the first go.
You just want to go, it's real simple, Oetsu. He shoot and he hit.
And if it's anything past the zone that he told you, it goes nowhere. It's not a bullet. Like, he already said that. So we go back to Yuha, and we see that he's like, fine, I guess I'll steal your power. Then he does Sanct Altar. And we see black ink begin to pull from Ichibei's body and turns Ichibei into an old-looking motherfucker.
I was like, Santa!
Yeah, and Yuha's flame begins, like, basically growing. And Yuha says, your black has now become my power. As he launches a blue flame at Ichibei, and it just engulfs him. We see all of Squad Zero now rounded up in front of Yuha's royal guard. And Gerard's like, come on, you call this being stronger than all the 13 court guard squads? Oetsu says, we've yet to use the full strength of even one court guard squad yet. And Oetsu immediately calls for everybody to stand back up. Oetsu then nominates Shinjimaru and says, you'll be the one to kill them. Kirito says, since you have 1,000 arms, 6 should be easy. Oetsu says, we'll show you how Squad Zero gets serious. So Oetsu, Kirito, Tendro all cut their own necks. And we see 3 candles in this little room begin to burn out as Shinjimaru begins glowing with power. And Shinjimaru says that even the slightest use of their powers would cause the heaven and the earth of the 3 worlds to tremble. Because of that, we linked our lives to one another to seal away our true swords. And now in exchange for the 3 of our lives, the blood oath seal has been broken. Prepare yourselves. And he says, and she says, Bankai. As we see a golden gate appear behind her and begin to transform into what I assume is like kind of an old school sewing machine.
It's like the loom.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like the thing they had in Wanted where they could see all the fates, you know?
Fuck that movie.
We'll pause here for a second. That description of power and how that works and how they bound themselves to each other is a fucking 10 out of 10 excuse for Squad Zero getting roasted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A fucking 10 out of 10. I don't remember if that was the manga or if that was in Camp Fear World. Was it in either of those?
Them being able to wake up when you call their name was in Camp Fear World.
Okay, but the fact that they like bound themselves to each other is not in Camp Fear World?
I think it might be, but I'm going to be honest. The explanation she gives here is way more detailed as to why they did.
So, yeah, that where they're like, yeah, listen, we literally threw away our true swords. We can't use our full powers unless 3 of us are dead. And then one of us can use it because we're so powerful is insane to think about. And another thing to know, I put this on my end of episode notes. She mentions that if they were to use it, it would shake basically the 3 worlds. You know, it would fuck all that up. Where this puts into perspective now with Yama. You remember when Yama used his Bankai, it shook just Soul Society.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. Theirs does all 3. They're like, yeah, we can't fuck around. That's how much more powerful Squad Zero is compared to even someone like Yama.
That's fucking hard.
This is so much better because we are told all the time in the manga, Squad Zero is the shit. And so, you know the shot where Kurenji and Kirio, they block or they try and block the X-axis and they fail? That's it. They're not seen again there. Squad Zero is just dead. That's it.
See, this is so good. And that's why I'm saying, I think now you have to watch the anime. Like, how could you go? Like, if you were to, I think if you have one person, we set up a test group. One person only reads the manga. One person only reads the anime. You would come out with 2 totally different opinions of Squad Zero.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. The anime did it better.
Yeah, Squad Zero got clowned on so hard by me and everyone else for talking mad shit and then getting trashed. There's you can talk and then you can show up and actually do, and they are doing right now.
Yeah, and it's the way, and especially the power we get to see from Shinjimaru is fucking incredible, which we'll touch on coming up here. But that explanation to me is the biggest fucking W that they have added to Bleach Thousand Year Blood War as a whole so far. That explanation is so fucking good. I paused it for a second. I was just like writing it down. I'm like, they fucking cooked with that. Like that, they, whoever thought of that, Kubo, someone at the writer's desk, amazing addition.
Yeah, they solidified their power. Mm-hmm. I thought it was insane.
It's such an easy explanation. How come they didn't just go all out and win? Well, if they did, they would destroy everything.
Well, yeah. So, how come they didn't use their Shikais? How come they didn't use their Bankais? Which is something I've been saying for a long time. Why didn't they? Why didn't they use their Bankais? They have to have them if they were captains and they made their way up there. We can't. We threw them away. We're so fucking powerful, we can't.
And it makes so much sense. How come they fought in these little fights they just had earlier? They were trying to avoid having to shake the earth, but, you know, I guess it can't be avoided.
We get the reaction shot, too, right after that.
You get the shot and everything is shaking and you're like, oh, fuck, she was telling the truth, actually.
Yeah, which, yeah. By the way, we get to see Ichigo and Udi's dad, which is also a fucking 10 out of 10 choice for people to show reacting, because it's both sides. It's Udi and it's Ichigo, and we see both their dads reacting to it. Incredible choice. Again, mm-hmm. I got to say, you know, Kubo was hyping these episodes up. He made great decisions.
And, like, you see other people. You see, like, Ichigo's sisters, and they don't know what's going on. They're just like, oh, an earthquake. And then you see Ichigo and Udi's dad, and they're like, oh, fuck. Because they know what's going on.
Yep. Really cool. And I liked the classic symbolism where it's both sides. Both of them are simultaneously probably thinking, I hope Ichigo's okay. I hope Udi's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their fathers wondering about their kids.
Well, to be fair for Ryuken, he's probably like, I'm sure Udi's fine. Goes back to smoking.
Well, it's really, you know, you think about it, it's probably a fucking... all around win scenario for Udiu, because most, I would say, let's give it a 75%. 75% of the Soul Reapers will not kill Udiu due to his connection with Ichigo.
Yeah.
So true. He kind of has like diplomatic immunity. You know, the Squad Zero will roast him if they don't give a shit. But anybody down below, he's got diplomatic immunity, you know? Yep. So he's fine. They'll just capture his ass.
Oh, well, depends on if you're Squad 12.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, true.
My Yuri is probably rubbing his hands here like, I can't wait to fuck with this guy again.
He's probably like, please, Udiu, come to me, please.
I'll find him somehow.
So back to the Bankai that's happening. We get the thing and a whole bunch of curtains drop down from the ceiling. Here we get the name. I'm going to try my fucking best here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I hope he tries to pronounce this.
Shitatsu Karagara Shigaram Minotsuji. I tried my best. I stumbled there. And that's where we get all of the reaction shots happen here. And she begins going thump, thump, rattle, rattle, which was in the poem that was at the end of the last episode. As Sinjumaru steps forward, and the first person that we see is Lilibaro, the first victim. And he finds himself trapped in kind of like a hexagon, kind of filled with mirrors. And Sinjumaru says, unravel one Hank, an abundant blooming of eyes. And Lilibaro panics and begins to shoot as he just ends up shooting himself. Then we go, Sinjumaru says, sightless be to any who gaze upon their might. We cut over now to Asken. She says, unravel two Hanks, as we see Asken caught in the kind of like a similar fortress. I don't think he has the mirrors, though. And spikes appear underneath Asken's
mirror. Looks like the Iron Maiden almost.
Fucked. Yeah. And she says, armor of blade steels. The walls begin to come down and form that Iron Maiden that we saw. Then we go to Pernida, the next victim coming up. Unravel three Hanks, bowels of the black sand. He basically just gets black quicksand. Nothing really exciting with Pernidas, unfortunately. And lastly of the Royal Guard, we get Gerard. She says unravel four Hanks. His curtains begin to wrap around him, freezing Gerard, which I thought very interesting that they went with
they chose to freeze him instead.
Very interesting. Maybe a hint, nod to how Gerard will actually get roasted later.
The three-piece combo.
Yeah, so I think that I like to think that was maybe I am not smart enough to put all this together, but what if each of these rooms relates to how they will be defeated later?
I was thinking about that and like I couldn't put it together, but for Gerard, I'm like, well, you can't kill him, but you can make him just not move.
Yeah. And we know the boy that comes to fight Gerard, Tosh. So I thought
his older brother.
You're right.
It's not really him.
So I thought that was a little interesting. And I was like, it's like maybe they're doing something here. I don't have the memory close enough to start to piece that together. So maybe someone in the comments go through and watch each of the Hanks.
After we're done, because this anime is over, I'm just going to go reread the Blood War so I can know.
Okay, there you
go. So I'll be ready for next year.
Okay, good. So we go now to Yugram, which, by the way, Burning Fields, he fights Baz B. That's obviously not how he dies, but Burning Fields, as the curtains around Yugram begin to light ablaze, and Yugram's still like trying to slash these flames because he's seeing visions of Sinjimaru in him.
Yep.
Doesn't do anything. It's fucking flames, dumbass, as he gets involved or engulfed. And then we get Unravel Six Hanks as Udiu, Star of the Dark Knight. He gets the fucking coolest name. And he gets, I wasn't exactly sure what was happening here. He gets his soul sucked into a Stern Ritter cross is what happens there? ?
I don't know. It was really weird.
Yeah, I kind of thought maybe it's his soul being sucked into the Stern Ritter cross. Kind of his symbolism is kind of like he sold his soul to the Stern Ritter.
Oh, that yeah, I can see that.
Makes sense. I was seeing it as like maybe that's his greatest fear.
Okay.
Just kind of dying that way.
yeah, all the shit with Yuha comes to pass like he fears and he can't do anything, so maybe that's it.
Okay, that makes sense. That I like that. I like that take as well. So, Sinjimura continues saying, "Now take a quick look, you villains, as I bind off and release the cloths from this loom." And this is the most ridiculous word I've ever seen typed out in my fucking life. Shidenorogushibishibishibishibi. Did you guys see that long word that she said right there? Holy shit. When it popped up, I was like,
I'm not even going to try.
Shidenoro.
I looked at that and made a conscious decision to not write that down. Just go, fuck it.
I wrote the whole thing.
That's Sam's job. Yeah.
Shidenoro, Kushiki, Iyuki, Monohara. It's all one word, though. So maybe Editor Sam, cut the spaces out.
Just make it very seamless.
Just fade it together, cut the spaces out. After she says that ridiculous word, we see six curtains fall from the roof and pull into flame, and we see the outline of all of the Stern Runners into them and basically how they were defeated.
That was really sick.
Fucking sick.
The visuals, man.
It really knocked it out of the park. That is amazing. What a great fucking scene with Sinjimura's Bankai. So cool. So cool. And I love the finale. I also like that her Bankai, you see her walking around at one time and you can see that each one leads to a room. She has all these rooms all the way over. And I like that she basically has the opportunity to go fuck with it. She looks like a torture chamber. She goes and fucks with each one. She personally goes and oversees both all of their deaths. Then fucking weaves them into her curtain showing how they died. I'm like, that is
the
cool.
Threads of life, man.
Dude, super cool.
She was by far the member of Squad Zero that got shafted the most in the manga.
Yeah, I remember you didn't see much of her.
They gave her everything in this.
And
it's
Kubo came
best.
In with the Uno reverse card, was like, here you go, baby.
This is the shit. This is the shit Kubo's been promising since.
Yeah, it is true.
Since it ended.
That's what we were talking about last episode, where I feel like, and it came true, this was the first bits where I really feel like Kubo has improved on what he said. Where like the previous ones with Shinji and stuff like that, he's made slight alterations. He's put the Shinji Bankai in there for a little bit of hype, give him a little bit of scene. This is the first time where we have seen such drastic changes.
And it's not just the expansion of a fight. It's, hey, we never know what this character's Bankai is. How about we get to see it in full crazy detail?
This was stuff that he was promising when he was making the original Thousand Blower manga. I remember when it got announced that he was doing the final arc. And one of the things that Kubo was quoted for was, you will see everybody's powers by the end of this. Like, I'm going to show, because it's the final arc. Like, don't you guys worry. We're going to show it all. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition. But this, now he's making good on, like, at least some of it. And now he knows that also he has the Hell arc. So why does he need to show it all right here,
if
baby?
He wants to ever come back to it.
I was just getting hyped for the guys making BBS, because I was like,
oh,
have you guys played with the Sinjimura character? Do any of you have her?
Yeah, just has shields.
I have her.
Yeah, her shit is bare bones. Because what can you get from the manga? She has stitching. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, the new model they're going to release for her eventually is going to go hard.
Her Bankai
model? Okay, well, let's not go too crazy. They're not going to make no new fucking model. They're going to reuse the same model and just give her new abilities.
I'm okay with that.
You're part of the problem, Pythes. You're part of the problem.
I'm part of the dude. I wailed so hard to get the new Bambi.
Ugh.
Did you roll on this the Halloween banner?
Oh no, fuck that. I saw that shit get posted.
Who was on it?
And pass. Fucking Noelle and fucking,
it's the same too. It's Noelle. Yeah. Noelle looks fucking fire though.
Nah. I have ever seen something with fucking three episodes of an anime get so many goddamn units.
People love Kubo's work.
Because what else do you have?
Anybody from Bleach, like, that's crazy, man.
When am I gonna get Hellarc Iba?
Yeah, like, come on, that's easy pickings. When am I gonna get Swimsuit Yama? Like,
he's in a speedo.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh wait, no, he's a loincloth kind of guy. Yeah.
Okay, no, it's a dual unit Swimsuit Yama and Sasakibe, and Sasakibe is in the speedo because he's a Westaboo.
Yes, sir. Pythes, you're hired to be on the team. Take over.
Okay, so while you were talking about the description, I looked up what the fuck a hank is from the description.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
It is a coil of yarn, hair, or rope. A thick hank of blonde hair. Measurement says a measurement of the length per unit / mass of cloth or yarn varies according to type being measured, blah, blah, blah. So it's a measurement. You are this
Okay,
Hank.
Sick.
Cool. That's cool.
I was like, is that a Japanese word or what? It's like, my grandpa's name is Hank. I'm like, it's fucking.
My favorite pizza place is Hank. So
Hank's is so good.
So it's throwing me off, dog. So we cut to Yuha now, who begins to walk away from Ichibei, thinking, yo, hey, fucking GG, I stole your powers. And we see Ichibei just completely fine, back to his regular young age. And Ichibei says that his power is black. Unless he releases Ichimonji, soul reapers, Quincy's, the dead, and the living, it doesn't matter who you are, all the black in the world become mine. As Ichibei fucking slashes Yuha, Yuha becomes completely painted in black paint. And Ichibei says, Yuha, or the one who used to be Yuha, losing your name must be agonizing. How about I give you a new name? He says, Shinichi Shirafude Ichimonji, or if he had to use a more modern term, Bankai. Ichibei's brush tip is now turned white, and Ichibei says this was the first evolved Zanpakuto, far before Bankai even existed in the world. This sword can etch a new name on whatever is painted over by Ichimonji, as he gives Yuha the name Black Ant. And he says, your power is like that of a black ant that crawls on the ground, a frail and fleeting life. Black Ant responds and says, I never imagined. And Ichibei says, yes, you couldn't have imagined the difference in our powers, and this is where your fate ends. You will bear the weight of the lives of all the soul reapers you killed and be crushed to death like the black ant that you are. As he summons a giant foot, fucking smashes Yuha through the ground. Yuha starts to plummet through the air. Ichibei says, King of Bugs, farewell, as he summons two more big hands, smashing in midair. Yuha, aka Black Ant, falls through the air as Ichibei lands back on the platform, looking at the giant seal right before where the Soul King is resting, and it ends. Ooh. That's it. We'll talk about this before we go to the end credit scene. Fucking weird place to end. Really, really weird.
For me, unfortunately, leakers were already posting this, and I was like, this cannot be the end.
I don't know if you saw my Twitter post. I got onto Twitter. I saw everybody raging. So I did like a Twitter post like, man, it was the night before. So I thought everybody was going to be like fucking good to go, like hyping. And it was a war happening on my timeline of like the usual guys, like the boys that are always hyping up Bleach. Fuck you. Don't listen to this. Wait till the episode comes out. I logged on trying to see if everybody's hyped for Bleach. My face when I see everybody, you know, fucking raging. And one guy was like, don't even open Twitter until tomorrow. I was like,
yeah,
hey, word up, done. It's like, don't worry about it.
Honestly, I'm kind of okay with it ending here.
Why?
It is quite literally the exact opposite of how season one ended.
Explain.
Season one ends with the Quincy's having stomped everybody so hard that Ichigo had to go through a massive training arc, and then we just get a bunch of exposition and like character development. This goes with, hey, those dudes that seemed invincible, they are now dead on the ground. What's going to happen next episode?
So the only thing that I saw somebody saying that is potentially good about this ending is that like the next season three, it's going to begin with like, you know, we all know what happens to Ichibei and all that shit, but it's going to go fucking crazy from the get-go.
The first episode is going to go insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be nonstop action for a minute.
Let's talk after credit scene, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the whole thing.
Okay.
So after credit scene here, we get Cone. Cone makes his reappearance.
Finally.
Yes. So the King of New York, Cone, makes his appearance. And they're bringing back the, quote, mega popular illustrated guide to Soul Reapers. And we see, you know, there's a couple scenes that happen here. There's two. We see Squad 12 Barracks, the scene that we saw in the anime of Ichigo and Miri talking about repairing the Zanpakuto. But we get a lot of more Cone scenes here where we see Buff Cone have his moment and Ichigo.
All Cone, dude. All this just cracks me up.
All of these these just jokes they cut from the manga.
Yeah.
And I think he goes meta and says, like, you know, it's been kind of serious, but, you know, I think, you know, a little spin on
at
it.
At one point, Mayuri and Ichigo being talking, he's like, no, they're going back to canon.
Yeah.
And then we go to Ruki and Renji back when they were training with Squad Zero, and they're reminiscing about how horrible it was to be in Senjimaru's area and how Ruki said she was stripped naked. It was so horrible. And Renji begins to remember what was happening. And Ruki's don't, Renji, don't. And we see Senjimaru basically telling Renji to strip naked. He's like, no, I'm good. Like, it's like, I will fucking rip your balls off, basically, if you're not strip naked. He's like, okay.
It's like, okay, I'll get naked. It's because the loincloth, man.
Mm-hmm. And no end poem. And that's the full end of this episode.
So I know people are mad that it was not animated. They'll fix it in the Blu-ray, probably.
I don't think so. So I know Pythies and I talked a little bit on Twitter because I posted. I wanted people's legitimate thoughts because I know that's going to be controversial. That scene was 4 minutes long.
Yeah, it was
4 minutes long. So when I first watched it, I was like, fuck, this is long. And then I was like kind of watching them do the talking bubbles. Like, I got bored watching that. And then I was like watching it, kept going. It kept going. It kept going. It was like, dude, that is fucked up. That could have been 4 minutes of anime that we got, or of anything else that we could have got. So when I got into watching, I'm like, that is so, it feels so weird to me that that was there. I've been saying since we started this fucking thing, I miss the funny parts, you know? And a lot of, like, what we talked about last week, a lot of the funny parts from the OG anime was in the fucking after credit scenes, like the illustrated guys, illustrated the fucking things. Communions, the stuff with Gin explaining the spot and stuff like that. I loved that shit. This was not it for me. Not it for me. Found out later when I was trying to search what the fuck was up with that. They are having production issues with the anime currently. So the big theory to that is the reason that the scene was added and it was so long is just due to production issues.
Well, that would make sense then.
I feel like it's to whet your appetite. Hey, we're going to do it for the next core, but here's just we voiced the funny parts we cut.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could see that even as being like, we already had these voice lines laying around. Let's get our
might as well use them.
Let's get our intern to throw that in on the end, you know, the quick end credit thing. I don't think they will fix it. I think they will keep it exactly as is in the Blu-ray.
No, I mean like when they actually bring it back proper.
Oh.
I see.
I'm assuming they will have it at the end of next season.
I don't know if they'll continue it, but I could see it. Would you guys be upset or would you guys care if they continue it, but it's still the same format of talking heads?
I'd be fine. I was happy.
It's okay to me, but I would have liked the little animation stuff, even if it wasn't as detailed.
Yeah, I would have preferred anime, but like I was just happy to hear the thing I missed that wasn't in the anime just be added, even if in this form.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if they bring it back, keep it to a minute and a half. You know, 4 minutes to me is egregious. That was one of the things where I got done watching the episode. I was like, I didn't like that. I did not like that that was at the end of the episode. I would have much rather have it ended and like that be fucking it.
It was because it was two segments long. Usually like a minute is how long one of those would have gone.
I agree. I think if it was one segment they gave us there, I would have been much more happy. But it was two segments and I got, like I said, I got bored.
Just give
I got
me
bored
1 minute.
Watching that.
Just give me 1 minute segments at the end of each episode. I'll be happy.
Yeah. I agree with all of that.
Because I love those. Like I said, I love those scenes from the OG. But watching this one and it not be animated, and it's obviously stuff that was from the manga that we talked about for a long time. I was fucking like, I was just like, now that's our representation of that scene, which better than nothing, you know, true. But fuck, I was bored.
That also plus it immediately follows like the craziest ending.
Yeah, yeah. It's jarring, I guess you could say. But it's just I would have so much rather had 4 minutes more of an episode. Like that's the thing. And I obviously it's not the same people working on that. I get it. And it helps with production issues where they kind of put that filler in the back end. But I would have rather have gotten 4 minutes of anything else.
Well, here's my question to you. What would we have used the 4 minutes for?
I know. That's why I'm thinking. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anything.
Too much.
Oh, I got it. I got it. Robert Acutrone's death was what we could have used the 4 minutes for.
Absolutely.
Like, what the fuck?
And I don't mean animate the entire scene. I mean, I want 4 minutes of him just dissolving and screaming the whole time.
Just screaming the whole time? Yeah, oh,
the whole time.
God.
Like, man, if we're going to do talking heads, like, just throw Robert Acutrone on there real quick and just change it to a skeleton real quick, like, out of the fucking tram ride on Universal.
Just be like, look, I found this guy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, so I was walking around just poking a skeleton. Yep. Like, yeah.
I want someone to, like, pull him out on, like, a mine cart.
Or, like, another cool scene. This would be too much animation, which is, like, this is kind of the hard thing because they clearly did it to save money. And we're going to talk about this, but the season 3 trailer is already out.
Yep.
So they were clearly working on that shit. They have that stuff good to go. I think it would have been cool to maybe see Cone walking around from his POV, you know?
Like that would have been hilarious.
Kind of like what we got with Ichigo when he first broke back into the Soul Society, mm-hmm. the first person shot, but from Cone's perspective.
Okay, no, so you just remake the whole scene, but it's Cone.
Yeah.
There's an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where it's from Danny DeVito's point of view.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
It would
sick.
Just be like that.
That'd be sick.
Is that point of view 3 feet off the ground?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, everything, the camera's looking straight up at everybody's faces.
Okay, no, but for real, I really want a scene of Buff Cone in the rain and Byakuya going, save us, Cone.
It's just all so in Cone's funny. Head. He's like, I got you.
Important scenes, but it's Cone.
He replaces everything with himself, and as he's telling the story to like young Soul Reapers.
Yamamoto comes in and he's like, it's Cone. There's no better security because I'm here.
Yep.
Ichigo comes down to save Kenpachi, but it's Cone and Cone's theme is playing.
We finally get Konpachi in
Konpachi,
the anime.
Yes.
Konpachi.
Yeah.
That's too cool to be real.
We have him somewhere around here.
He's right there. He's on the set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have a Cone stuffed animal that lost an arm, and then we have...
It lost its battle to Sam's dog.
Yeah, and then we have a Naruto headband wrapped around one of his eyes like Cone, and we've always called him Konpachi.
Yeah, we just created that. We need to get him a little captain's cloak.
Yeah.
Okay, I've just improved the scene. Okay, so Cone is Ichigo, and he's coming down to save Kenpachi, but Kenpachi is Ambassador Seaweed.
There we go. Yes.
No,
I love all of this.
Ambassador Seaweed was Byakuya. Replace it that way.
I love all of this.
And then we have Rukia's Bankai being her little Chappie drawings.
Yeah.
Incredible. Oh, dude.
Incredible.
And then Asnot isn't dying because of the ice. He's like, I hate this art. And he just
it's
kills.
It's too cute.
And he just explodes.
Incredible all the way through. Incredible.
Guys making Bleach, hire us.
Yeah,
we
just want to be like in the writer's room where they're just spitballing. We don't want any other inclusion. You know? We just want to be in the spitball phase.
Did you hear the thing those guys said?
Yeah.
God damn it. Genius.
No, it'd be me and Jose. Sam would get kicked out immediately because he'd walk up to Kubo, shake his hand and go, so the bounce, right?
He's like, exile.
And you could see yourself. I'm like, hey, listen, I'll bait him around. I'll tell like a 5-minute long in-depth setup story. And at the very end, who do we see?
God, yeah.
Koga.
Oh.
The last surviving of the bounce make his appearance. And they're like, okay, and you're gone.
And he's making some bullshit on the ground like a pentagram, like, I will resurrect you, Karia.
Yeah. Ron Tao shows up. She comes through one of the Avenger portals, and she's created a whole army of bounce now. She's resurrected them from the ground.
There's a whole new level of them.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a whole army of just the fish guy.
It's like the scene in Lord of the Rings where Aragorn shows up with the army of the dead, but it's all bounce, like, come running off of the ship.
And they're all ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And not cool Bleach ghosts, but they're all just like, ooh, and they've got like a little spirit tail.
Yeah, perfect.
I could just see Sam, like, me and Jose are sitting in the meeting, and Sam's outside having to hold that water bucket, like, man, fuck you guys.
Meanwhile, we pitch Robert again getting annihilated.
Yeah. It's like, listen, guys, they come back to you like, listen, guys, we have bad news. We're going to have to cut the Robert Akitron scene. No, 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 that has to be in.
God damn it, guys. Why?
That is important to the lore for things you don't understand until later.
No, we're pissed about it, and Kubo walks up, taps us on the shoulder, whispers in our ear, wait till the hell arc.
He's there?
Yeah. Or just whispers, he's not dead yet, and then just walks away.
He will return.
Yeah, there we go.
My
back
God.
To the OG.
Returns in Core 4.
All right, Pythes, you want to touch base on anything that you want to talk about for the finale, episode 26? Anything we missed?
I was sad there was no like last episode opening JoJo moment. I know you guys don't watch JoJo. When the big bad's like power is revealed, like the last episode of a JoJo season, like the opening changes dramatically to work around that power.
That's cool.
Oh, interesting.
It was like a guy that can reverse time. And so for like the last 3 episodes, the opening plays out and then it is reversed and then it plays again.
Oh, that's cool.
So
I thought maybe they'd do that, but hey, it was cool. Let's see. Something talked about that. They used Aizen's theme.
They did.
And I was going to be mad, but it was like kind of a sick remix. So I was just vibing.
They did. They had a whole guitar solo in the middle of it.
Like the drums were kicking. It was awesome.
It went metal.
I'm disappointed you didn't mention the best line in this entire season is a Uetsu coming back to life and saying, dead morning, everybody.
Yeah.
I at a certain point, like pretty early on, I was writing so much fucking notes. I was like, okay, I'm going to start jumping around a little bit here and not quote for quote the entire anime.
And this is just me going to be me saying some shit and being wrong. People in the comments, feel free to roast the shit out of me. When Yuha was putting his like the blute inside of
Ichibei,
is that how he got the Almighty back? Because he went specifically for the eyes.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking too.
Are you talking about later? Is that how he gets it back, or like did he get it back right in that moment?
Fucking spoilers. So the episode ends like directly in the middle of a chapter, and like the end of that chapter is he uses the Almighty.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, because like then Ichibei reverses it and it goes straight to Yuha's eyes. Like, was this part of his plan, or am I just crazy?
Maybe I could see them explaining that, because they've already shown that he steals shit by doing that, which is an anime only scene that they set up. So I could see them explaining that.
So I could either be the most correct ever or the most wrong.
That's how we like to live our lives, baby.
Let's go.
Flip a coin. So here's another one. We all know Kubo loves. He loves Western music. He loves rock. He's that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that Ichibei's release command is paint it black.
Yeah.
Because of course it would be. Ichimonji is literally just the kanji for the number one.
Oh, cool.
Okay, sick.
And just a cool manga detail. When they're doing the thing where he's covered Yuha's sword in ink, and he's trying to say the name of the sword, but he can't because he's taken it. All that shit is just covered in ink in the manga.
Cool.
The speech bubble's really covered
sick.
Over.
Sick.
And I only just now noticed that Pranida's wings are hands.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, well, that's good foreshadowing.
When Yuha is getting clapped by Ichigei. He's getting clapped by Ichigei in more ways than one. That's not even the end of chapter 609. We still have the entire rest of the next year for the fight to finish.
Damn.
Okay.
Yep.
Remember when we were talking about like where the fuck is the series gonna end?
Yep.
We were so off. But it's like, I don't think anybody would have expected for it to end there. I don't know if anybody would fucking call that they're going to end there.
I think I said it was going to end with them going up to the Soul Palace. I think, Sam, you said right after this fight.
Yeah.
Jose,
yep.
I don't know what you said.
I think I said Aizen.
You said Aizen.
Yeah. Yep.
We were all as wrong as possible. I was the most wrong.
Everyone wishes it was Aizen.
Oh, God. Aizen will return.
I do like the tease in the season 3 trailer.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about season 3
they
trailer
just,
then?
They just show his chair.
Yeah, they show his chair. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
and
it's all I care
so
about.
Also, I think I have it here. There's a new visual.
Already,
and it straight up says streaming 2024, which is good news. Love that. It's of Udyu, of course, looking real good to go. And season 3 is going to be called The Conflict, is what it's going to be called. There's a full on ass teaser already out. Like, which they did this last year as well. Some stuff that we noticed in there. Obviously, Aizen's chair is fucking front and center.
You see Pernida?
Pernida, yes. We see a brief glimpse of Ganju, Ichigo, Orihime, and Chad.
Yep.
And Yoruichi, of course, arriving to the Soul Palace. There is a quick scene in there of Yuha with the Almighty.
Yeah, I did see that.
And then it looks like, I don't know if you guys saw, it looks like Udyu is going to be the one that escapes in Jimaru's Bankai.
Yeah.
Because there's a quick little scene of him standing in Sinjumaru's Bankai, like in the main hall area where we saw Sinjumaru shooting an arrow. So I assume he will be the one that escapes that.
And kills her.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay, so we were talking mad shit about how we don't view Uryu as an equal to Ichigo. If he's the one that gets out of this Bankai and beats her, I think that'll fix the problem.
True.
Yeah, I agree.
Which we've said since, or at least I said since the beginning, is he needs to make a fucking hard choice. He needs to beat them. But here's how they could ruin that. Okay, so one, Udyu needs to beat Sinjimaru, full on fucking kill Sinjimaru, okay? It needs to be he glacks her through the dome, like fucking Mayuri style, okay? Yeah. Number two, he can't know that they're going to revive. If we find out that Udyu knew fucking Squad Zero was going to revive and they can't be destroyed unless they destroy their other shit, that's bullshit. Because then that weakens it again. So to my knowledge, Pythies, maybe you can chime in. I don't think Udyu finds that out.
I don't think so. No, I don't think.
Okay, he goes full force, right?
Nobody finds that out except for Shunsui.
Okay, good. So as long as we don't find out Udyu in his fucking grand poppy's book realize that, oh, Squad Zero can't be killed, and that's why he did it, then 10 out of 10, that will fix it. They really will. And especially with the power that we saw of Sinjimaru basically shaking all the worlds and Udyu's the one to take her out, then that sets a whole new level of like, okay, Udyu is fucking cracked. You know, really, really strong.
I'd be so down for that. I can't wait for him to get the bow with like that splits into four.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool. So they could do some crazy shit. And the fact that the series ends with fucking Sinjimar's Bankai still active immediately by default means we're getting more anime original scenes the moment the anime comes back.
Yeah, it's going to be so good.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just want to shout out my final note is I just wrote Cone out here speaking truth about all the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season 3 trailer looks incredible. A lot of CG usage in there, but I dig it. It's kind of stylish. I also like they use kind of old-timey music.
Yeah, they did. It seemed a little bit more classic, but with a modern twist.
It's cool. It's really cool. They did a really good job. I'm surprised we didn't get anything about Burn the Witch with a lot of the rumors and stuff going around coming up.
We get it in October. Yeah. Which is tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll see. Maybe they'll do it the day after. They don't want to steal Bleach's thunder, which is good.
I was gonna say, like, that'd be kind of weird. Like, the episode came out today. Like, for me, it came out. Like, for me, it came out like 4 hours ago.
You know what I was thinking the moment that I saw the trailer and then I saw this visual that's up here of Udyu? Can't wait to get that poster at Anime Expo next year.
Dude, I was thinking the same fucking thing.
I immediately saw that because this poster mirrors the original orange one. Do we have one?
I can go.
One on my knee. I have one right here. So that poster fucking mirrors the OG orange Ichigo one. Look at that.
It really does. We can put them side by side.
Fucking way cool. So if we get that one, ooh, you know what we need to do, Jose? So we already have the English dub voice actor of Rukia that signed our orange one.
We got to get Ichigo.
Obviously we need to get Ichigo's as well. That's a good point as well. But we need to then get on the Udyu poster, obviously Udyu's signature, but then like Yuha's signature and like all the Sternritters to sign on that one.
Sternritters on one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be hard. We got to hunt them down.
Yeah.
Where do you get all the wrong card to sign?
Yeah, that's a toughie.
That's even harder.
Maybe one of the posters will be Grimmjow or something.
Where does Aizen sign if you get Aizen's voice actor?
He'll sign on anything. I don't give a fuck.
He would sign on the Core 2 one where they're both on there. There's both Ichigo and Udyu on that one.
But Aizen is in there for like 3 seconds. That's all we need. Don't you want him to be in there?
Hey, maybe Core 4 will be Aizen's poster.
Dude, if we got an Aizen poster,
I want them to do like the world's shittiest, like, Star Wars level poster for Bleach, you know, where like all the characters are doing their poses. You have some that like the big floating head in the background, and
I want that.
Someone should go back and make those for each core, because you could do like Core 1 and have Yama obviously very focused, like Core 2 Squad Zero a lot in it, and then you know go on and so forth. That'd be fucking cool.
It's like the Avengers posters that they released Endgame and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what I want. The core 4 poster needs to be a giant looming Yuha in the background. In the foreground, it's Ichigo and Aizen standing shoulder to shoulder.
That'd be sick.
Yo.
That'd be way sick. Totally down for that. There's people that make posters for stuff like that, where they like make movie posters.
Yeah,
for
I like
they
that stuff.
They need to put that on Bleach.
I've bought a shit ton of Godzilla posters because they look sick.
See, make a Godzilla poster, but for fucking Bleach Thousand Year Blood War.
Gimme.
All right. Anything else that you guys want to touch on?
Overall, I liked this season a lot more than the last one.
I agree. Sure. Okay, I very much like this one a lot.
You like it better than the first season?
Yeah.
Yep. And this is with me saying I still don't think they've had a fight that equaled the Yama fight.
So I would be interested in going back. So I, as of right now, in my shitty memory, I still think I like season one better than Core 2, even with the additional stuff. And I will say that is because Core 1 had an actual ending. So
I see what you're saying, though.
This feels like, I don't know, if
cliffhanger.
I don't know how to explain it, but it feels, yeah, it's a fucking cliffhanger. It's like I should be getting another episode next week. But instead it's going to be a year.
It's because this is the ending to Infinity War, and we're waiting for Endgame.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
We're waiting for Endgame.
Part 1.
which we'll see, because I feel like if we relate that to Marvel, I think a lot of people like Infinity War more than Endgame.
Loved Infinity War.
Not me.
It'll be interesting to see. I think Core 1 is still better than Core 2 just because of the stakes and the full story that we got in Core 1. I still feel like Core 2 didn't wrap anything. There's no wrap. We got a lot of cool fights back to back to back to back, but I would take a full story over that.
I agree, but I'm kind of a meathead and I just want to go big fight.
Which is fair. You're allowed that, but I think the full story, everything but the rain that we got in there also, Ichigo doing his Shushikai for the first time. Obviously the Yama fight, and I still think one of the highlights for me is that fucking scene where Ichigo goes first person and we get the Byakuya scene. I still think that was fucking one of the highlights.
Gives you the chills.
Yeah, one of the highlights of the whole goddamn series, and I don't think we've had that in Core 2.
Yeah, Core 2 has been a lot of payoff. Season 1 was set up. this is payoff until the end, which is more setup.
Yeah. Which I think is maybe disorienting me a little bit. Because it's like, we got fight, 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 like full conclusions to fight, 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 fight. And then the finale, which is supposed to be like the fucking banger, just cuts. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's just, it's what, like all cliffhanger just to get you excited for the next season.
It could potentially end up being the case now where because it cut like that, it's almost like season two and season three are going to be all one long season, you know?
That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think people would have been like more accepting if it had just gone to black and said this will continue in season three.
Yeah. It's almost like it needs a little nod. And I think obviously they did last year, but I think that's why it was super important this time to be like, here's the trailer, guys. Like,
here, yeah, drop here, it immediately.
Season three,
yeah.
Please take it. It's like it's coming. And even like next year, like dated and everything. Like, you guys don't got to worry about it.
I just wish I knew what month.
It's going to be July. I would bet a lot of fucking money it'll be July again.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, here's my question. Would you have liked it better if they had cut the entirety of the Yuha fight and it just had to be Squad Zero and end an episode early? So we can start next season with the whole fight.
Yeah, I would. I would like that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that too.
Mm-hmm. I would actively like that better.
I don't think I prefer it either way.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like they didn't have anywhere to end. And they were like, what are we going to do? It's like, he's literally, because if they go any bit further, right? He, like we said, he's going to get the Almighty. And then it goes cracked from there. It goes fucking crazy.
It goes cracked and there's so much fight left.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then if they don't end it there, then it's like now they don't have, they fucking already pumped up Ichibei versus Yuha two episodes ago. You know, it's like now they have to pay this off somehow. And it's like, so they kind of got stuck. They're like, oh, now we have these 4 minutes where it's like, where are we going to end? We can't end it anywhere. And it's like, let's just end it with Yuha falling into oblivion. That's it.
And like, I remember, like, because before I watched this on other stuff, I was watching this properly on Hulu this time. And like, I get the mid-ad roll, and I'm like, there's not enough time for them to finish the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd have to cut out all the dialogue, and there's so much dialogue.
No, I think they're just going to open up with all of that in season three and just be a complete banger of a first episode.
Do you think so? Or I'm going to throw this out as something I think we would all hate. The first episode.
Would
you? No. I think the first episode next season is going to be catch up where we run around with all the people on the ground wondering what's happening, and then we cut back to the fight next episode.
Nah, they wouldn't do that.
No, I feel like they would pique our interest first and then flashback.
Well, especially, and I feel like from seeing the scenes that we saw in the Thousand Year Blood War trailer already for season three, you know they're gonna hop right back into it. Like, they already have that shit animated, good to go. Like, the rest of it was CG, but the stuff that they actually showed that was like the fucking show is that fight continuing. They're gonna go right into it.
Dude, the last shot of that trailer is like the thing that happens next in the manga. It's him talking about the Almighty.
Yep. So they're going to 100% hop right into it. And they have to. There's no way they come back and they cut away from that. Because imagine it comes back after all this time. We got fucked on. We got cut right in the middle of the Yuha fight. And then it comes back and like the episode ends with, okay, now we're going back to the Yuha fight. You would be pissed.
No. Okay, so what happens is you start it up. There's a big epic anime intro, and then Lady Verichio shows up, and it's time for new filler art.
Turn the pendulum.
Be brutal, dog. Holy shit. I'd be like, okay, love that. 10 out of 10. Thank you.
No, it's the Zanpakuto filler arc again, but with the new Bankai.
Oh, there we go. Let's there we go. With everybody's new abilities. We love to see that.
Cinnamon Zocker is like, I got a new hat.
That's all he changed. Yeah.
I was already perfect. Thank you.
Like, nobody misses the filler arcs. I do kind of miss the one-off joke filler episodes, like the beach episode.
The beach episode.
Yeah, those are fun.
I like those. Yeah, those are good OVAs.
Karakura Riser.
I feel like they could still do those. Like, imagine they were like, hey, it's over, but we're going to do a Bleach Christmas special. You know,
that'd be
like,
hilarious.
We're just going to come back for an hour. It's like,
a Halloween episode.
Yeah, we're going to do a special summer episode because they're not going to come back for a long time. It's like, they could easily do that. That would be nice. That'd be cute.
Like, I know you didn't read any of the plot in BBS, but But I did, and so, like, all the Christmas shit is hilarious because it's just, they're talking about Christmas, and all the Soul Reapers are like, what the fuck is Christmas?
Yeah, Rangiku going out to buy a bunch of gifts for everybody and stuff.
Yeah, Ichigo had to go buy a cake, and Lisa's like, no, fuck you, you don't get a cake. Never mind, here's a...
Just steal the story from BBS, it's fine.
Okay, I'm not even kidding. Like, almost every plot for the holidays that takes place in Wakamundo is just all the Arrancar knowing nothing, and then Tosin shows up and goes, put this hat on, Aizen wants to celebrate Christmas. Just do that.
Good boy.
I want to watch Aro Nero walk around with a sand hat on top of his big, dumb toad head.
Anything else that we want to touch on real quick?
I genuinely like the season a lot.
Fucking fantastic. I think best one so far.
We already said I disagree with that.
It's 2v1 on this one.
Probably. All right. So, but let us know what you thought of season two, specifically what you guys thought of the finale. Feel free to reach out to us, please. Instagram, Twitter, YouTube comments, of course. Let us know, is this season better than season one? And what did you think of the way this season ended? That is what I think is going to be the most interesting question to put to you guys. So let us know. Jose, you look like you have something to say. Go ahead.
I was going
to
say, what do you guys want to see most next season?
So that's another good question. What are you guys hoping they potentially add? Because now we know Kubo's cooking with some fucking fire here. So
blowtorch.
That being said, we hope you guys enjoyed hanging out with us. We're going to continue going. We have a couple things planned already going forward, so we hope you guys do stick around. Of course, if not, we will see you guys for season three. We'll be here. We'll still be hanging out. But if you guys have the time, let us know. What is some stuff that you would like to see us cover? We've talked about the Bleach Abridged series before. We've talked about potentially going back and recapping some of the old series and kind of talking about what we think of each of the arcs. Let us know. Is there something that you guys would like to hear us talk about? Would you like a top 10 list? Something you would like to see us rank? Our personal opinions, of course. Leave that in the comments down below. We'll be reading each one. Of course, Pythes will be in there. I saw him in there last week. Jose's username is Knight himself, just so if you guys see him. I feel like sometimes Jose responds and nobody knows it's Jose.
Okay. I think it's funny.
So we'll be around. And of course, I'm just Weebs Guild. Pretty easy to see that one coming. With that, guys, please subscribe, like, tell your friends. We hope you guys enjoyed. And, of course, we will see you guys around in the comments. Bye, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.